Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Yeah, crazy what love can do from Becky Hill. That is where I am going to be tomorrow at 4:30 down at the main stage in Stradbally for this year's Electric Picnic. I cannot wait. I haven't been since 2015. The car is packed. Extra wellies, extra boots since I saw the Met Aaron forecast this morning. You couldn't make it up. But anyway, I have that terrible feeling though that I've forgotten something. You know, there's definitely something that you forgot, and I don't know what it is, but sure, look, we'll survive anyway. I do want to chat to people though, like me, heading down to Stradbally this afternoon. Get in touch with us on the programme today. Like, how long has it been since you were there? What acts are you most looking forward to? Are you like me? Are you for Becky Hill tomorrow? Have to say, really looking forward to Dec Pearce as well. He's up there in my top three of the acts that I want to see over the weekend. But I do want to chat to people today, just heading down to the festival, your memories. You might even have some top tips for me too. But look, 53106, that's the number. Get in touch with us here on the programme, and we'll be chatting about that a little bit later in the show. Also though, coming up here on Lunchtime Live this Friday, have you been hit with high hospital car parking fees? Because Childhood Cancer Ireland, they actually want the car parking charges to be totally scrapped. It appears some parents have been hit with daily charges in excess of about €30 per day. And at a time when it's absolutely the least of the worries, we're going to be talking about this on the programme. 1800 453 106, that's the number. If you are in that position, get in touch with us. As always, you can drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, and you can get us on Twitter at lunchtimelivent. But before all of that, as the schools start back in the coming days, there's calls for some of the areas around the front of the schools to be made totally car free. And it's a policy that's already been put in place in some schools here in Ireland, but we're asking, why don't more schools have the car exclusion zone areas? Liz is with us on the line in Dublin, because Liz, you actually got in touch with us about this particular issue. It's something that you're in favour of.
I would be, absolutely, Andrea. Yes, it would have been one of the main reasons why when the lockdowns happened and we got the chance to do homeschooling, we actually decided to make that change permanent, and we're now homeschoolers and we just don't have to deal with all the stress around the school gate, trying to get in and out and worrying would a child be hit by a car, because it's just chaos around there.
How stressful is it, Liz?
Well, we started, like, we used to cycle down to the school, and honestly, like, you know, I just was terrified of seeing my kids go under a car. Like, people were parking up on verges, blocking gates, reversing. I mean, it really was chaos. I mean, anyone with kids who goes to school will know, because I know it wasn't just where we were. Mm. And we actually then reverted to taking the bus or to driving ourselves, because we had more control over, you know, than having a child on a bike. And I suppose, you know, specifically concerned about it myself, because we lost a family member who was hit as a pedestrian by a car.
Okay.
So, you know, I know I have my own anxieties about it, but it just, like, it just bred a really bad atmosphere around the school. So I love this proposal of having them car free, at least for a distance around.
I wonder how many schools across the country have this in place, Liz.
Oh, I've no idea about that. No, I can only talk about our own experience.
So it's not so much the environmental, it's purely from a safety perspective.
Well, the environmental aspect would be really helpful as well. Although, you know, I really respect that a lot of parents, you know, they might have several kids, babies, you know, like, they, it's really difficult to do the school run and pick up your kids. And it all has to happen in this really tight time period as well. You know, for like 5-10 minutes, you can't be late. And then, of course, some parents have multiple pickups, you know, they have to then go back in an hour. So I've nothing but sympathy for people just trying to get, you know, their kids to school and get their day done. But I was chatting with my daughter about it earlier, and she had a lovely idea that if you could drop your kids to, like, pick up places at a kind of distance away, and then they could all walk in together and have a chat as they were going in. And I do think that, you know, that is doable and might have advantages for kind of the kids sort of settling into the day as well. I really like her idea.
I wonder how many schools actually have you know, that level of sufficient space at the front of the school building, but maybe a car park down the road or whatever it is to even accommodate something like this. And you'd have to ask, is it even realistic in rural areas for schools?
I know,
there,
absolutely.
You know, to do something.
Yeah.
If there's schools today, if you're like Liz and you think it's a good idea, or perhaps you're in a school that is currently implementing a policy like this, give us a shout. It's 1800 453 106. Liz, stay with us, because Valerie Kyo, who is the principal, deputy principal at St Oliver Plunkett's National School in Malahide in Dublin, is on the line as well. Because Valerie, you guys are actually one of the schools that has introduced a car-free zone policy.
Yeah, so back in 2019, Fingal County Council approached the school to talk about proposing the School Streets programme. I think, as far as I remember, it originated in Scotland, and they were kind of trialling different things at the time. And so they approached the school, and they approached all stakeholders. They approached parents, they approached the school community and the board of management. And so they effectively sold it to us. But to be honest with you, at the time, we were having, as that girl said, difficulties around safety. I mean, we have a huge school here of 910
right.
people. And it's really, it began as an old school with maybe, you know, 50 pupils, and it grew and grew.
Huge,
and the village of Malahide, the streets are quite narrow, and there's a narrow street at the front of the school. And for years, I'm teaching here over 20 years, and, you know, increasingly over the years, everybody has cars now, and so there's just cars and children everywhere. And you would literally pray every morning, make sure that everything's okay. And it was a huge danger, and there were kind of small little incidents, but thankfully nothing serious over the years. So when Fingal approached it, they were probably approaching it from partly an environmental point of view, but for us, kind of, again, the safety was number one, and then the environmental thing was kind of a great asset as well.
Yeah.
And then at the time, we had our green schools, we had multiple green school flags, so that kind of tied in with that as well. And we were trying at the time to even do a campaign with our student council around, you know, getting cars to slow down, which wasn't happening. We even did a video campaign, but I think that's the whole pressure of time. Everybody knows you're trying to get to school on time and work on time, and kind of another thing kind of takes over. So that was happening. And so they proposed it, we agreed it, and we trialled it. And
So how does it work, though?
So basically what happens is at 8:30 in the morning, in front of the school, directly in front of the school, a portion of the street is closed off. Now, it is quite an important street in terms of people would have kind of used it as a cut through for going to different places. So it was quite a prominent road, even not just school wise, but for people to kind of get around the village, because the village itself can be chock a block as well. And so I know that it did affect traffic around the village as well. So the road closes, and this has happened for the last 3 years, from 8:30 to 9:15.
Okay.
And then from 1:00 in the day to 3:15. And at the time, we thought, this is never going to work. It's just not going to work. The teacher saying, we'll have to be in earlier. But everything seemed to just, there were so many benefits.
So when you say the road is closed from 8:30 to 9:15 and 1:00 to 2:45, then where do the parents park when they want to drop off the kids?
So what they do is they park, there's parking around the village. So there's a car park in the Malahide Castle car park. That's probably maybe a 10-minute walk away. There is parking around the area as well. Like little side streets as well. But a lot of more children, the older children, a lot more of them are now walking to school.
Okay.
Because I think that where they would have done maybe a 5-minute run in the car, they thought, actually, you may as well, for me to be parking, you may as well, you know, just go yourself, because it made it slightly more inconvenient to drive. And that was kind of the incentive then. There was naturally then more walking. There's a huge amount of children who cycle and scoot and everything. Yeah.
And it was obviously well received then.
It was well received, not by parents and school. I think that it did cause a little bit of hassle around people trying to get through the village. So people who maybe weren't involved in the school community and didn't understand it does inconvenience people. But I think that you have to prioritise, and I think that I genuinely think that probably lives have been saved over it, because it was really an accident waiting to happen. And you know, that's what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
It isn't convenient, even for teachers. We have to be here earlier. But even we found everything, you know, it's a slower pace in the morning. It's not as manic. Everything is much calmer. And even kind of the other benefit that we hadn't foreseen COVID. And even what used to happen is there'd be cars and parents all kind of huddled together because there wasn't enough space. Whereas during COVID, where you had to socially distance, even outside, that was kind of the other benefit. Yeah. We had all of that space and it was brilliant.
Do you think, Liz, from listening there to Valerie, like is that the sort of proposal that you'd be thinking about?
I think that sounds absolutely inspirational, and congratulations to Valerie for making it happen and getting the buy-in from, you know, all the families and children. Wouldn't that be just amazing to see it around the country, certainly in the cities and in built-up areas where there are a lot of schools? I love that idea.
Mary, you're on the line in Dublin too. You live near or close to a school. Would you like welcome an initiative similar to what Valerie has described?
Hi, Andrea. Well, actually, I live right next door to a primary school, but there's also three schools adjacent. So there's four schools surrounding us, two primary and two secondary. Now, where we've lived for 33 years, this has been a growing problem. And what happens is that the parents park in our estate, and getting in or out of the estate at the school, you know, opening and closing times, is a nightmare. So it's brought about an awful lot of aggression over the years between residents and parents and the school. And what I've seen is that whilst all so much money has been pumped into beautiful bicycle lanes right outside our estate, is that for the first few weeks going back to school, everybody's full of, you know, good intentions, but it doesn't last. Once the weather gets a bit colder, everybody jumps into the cars again. Now, we've got about three parks near us. And what I've been saying for years is why it's not mandatory, as Valerie has said, why it's not mandatory for people to park in the local car parks and walk the 10 minutes to school. And if that was made mandatory, you wouldn't, well, certainly in our area, you wouldn't have to close off any roads for anybody else. It wouldn't inconvenience anybody else not connected with school. But I just find that there's been a lack of will, certainly in our area, overall, that the schools haven't got together. And I have to say that I'm not a fan of Eamon Ryan, because as Minister for Transport, this is something that he should have tackled properly, not just building cycleways.
As Valerie mentioned there, though, like, Valerie, it was Fingal, it was the County Council, wasn't it? It was the local authority, actually, put forward this, you know. It could very easily be done, Mary, in your area then, too. You know, if the local authority or the council came together.
But I think it needs to come from the Department of Transport down, because of this whole focus on cycling and everything. It needs to be multi-bodies coming together and really not just encouraging but enforcing it. And it would make everybody's lives simpler. But it's the bad weather that gets everybody into the cars again.
Isabel is with us too, joining us in Galway. Isabel, do you support the idea of car exclusion zones around schools?
Oh, absolutely. And I live directly across the road from a big secondary school, just up the road from two primary schools. And it is bedlam. Absolute bedlam. We can't get out of our house in the morning, and then when you come back, you can't get in. So the whole road, it's a really narrow road, and the whole road is taken up by parents parking on footpaths and wherever, you know, to bring children to school.
Similar to Mary. It's the whole residential area.
And then my own children actually go to school at the other end of town. And that's a new built school. So they have a drop-off zone that some people adhere to and some people park in. But it's easier for a new school because you can just drive in, drop off and leave. But what we see here is people park, they have the chats, but the way that they're parked, because Loughrea is an old town, is it can just about fit two cars, but then you'll get people parking up on the path on both sides. And then, say, a school bus comes down. Yesterday morning was the first day of school. Some genius in the council decided to do roadworks at the end of the road first.
Nice.
A school bus got stuck, and that was it. The whole place was locked up.
And is cycling an option, Isabel?
There are no cycle lanes in Loughrea at all.
None at all?
Nothing. My 9-year-old decided she wants to cycle to school, so we're about to run a test run before school started, and a car actually clipped the pedal of my bike.
Right.
It's just aggressive driving. There's no need for it. But there's no way that you could allow her to cycle or walk down the road to school. You couldn't. Even my older children in secondary school, and they don't like walking on it either. So if this road that we live on, if there was an exclusion zone there, all the children could walk safely. Now, it is Galway, and it rains a lot. And that is an issue.
Yeah.
And also the weight of their school bags. The kids going into secondary school, they're bent over under the weight of their school bags. So that I can understand why people would want to drop them up. But for the primary school that's just down from us, there's people parking and walking them in, and then you have to cross them because it's dangerous. The road is dangerous.
Yeah. And out of curiosity, Isabel, like, have you ever talked to the school or anybody in the school about the possibility of having this sort of exclusion zone? Has it ever come up?
No. It's not a consideration at all.
Yeah.
Around here. But like, there's no cycle paths. I have had rows with several councillors about that.
Yeah.
There's no cycle path. Even the footpath isn't safe for children to walk on because there's cars parked.
They're all parked up on a double parked.
And they're parents that have children themselves. So you're thinking, are you not considering your own child's safety? Would you want your child to have to squeeze down? And I mean really squeeze down.
Yeah.
A thin footpath. If you're in a wheelchair, there's no way. So this road should be, to my mind, it should be closed for residents. But say, even if it was closed from 8:45 until, say, 9:05, then if residents, say someone like me that has to be at a different school, we'd know it'd be down the road before 8:45.
Yeah. Well, that's similar to what Valerie described. I mean, the 8:30 to 9:15 and 1 p.m. to 2:45. Mary, just on your point, because you're kind of in a similar position there to Isabel, have you ever talked to anybody in the school about introducing the same kind of a policy as Valerie has there at Oliver Plunkett's?
Well, we haven't talked about exclusion zones. But years ago, what we did was we got WLA lines coming into our estate, and we asked the guards, the local guards, would they police it? And that didn't happen. So this went on now for a good number of years, I have to say. Then at one stage, there seemed to be like a walking bus set up, you know, and a few parents took charge of that. That was great. That fell by the wayside. So, you know, nothing seems to stick. And I think this is why, like, we need, everything has to, in Ireland, it has to be policed. Otherwise, nobody pays a blind bit of notice. And if it's not policed and if it's not properly enforced, then, you know, it just all falls apart. So I don't have much faith in anything unless it's, you know, properly enforced and regulated.
So some of the texts on this, Elaine in Blackrock in Dublin says, the car-free zones at schools, it's a brilliant idea. We cycle and walk most days. The car park is absolute chaos. I'm always worried about my kids going under a car. Something like this would actually encourage more parents who can walk, cycle and do both, says Elaine in Blackrock. Anna says, about blocking the roads around the schools, I wouldn't hold my breath that the City Council weren't aware there was a primary school with over 100 students in the D2 area when they changed the traffic direction on St Stephen's Green a number of years back. That's according to Anna. There's an email in here from a listener who says, I'm only just back from summer holidays in Holland. We could just jump on a bike. You could cycle to the train station the whole way. It was a cycle lane. We weren't sharing the road with any cars at all. There isn't the space in most rural areas of Ireland for that level of infrastructure. This is the problem. And yet I saw they have a cycle train in Limerick recently. Some of the comments that were coming up in the thread were actually quite very critical, says this listener too. Just on the point, Valerie, about you know, when the bad weather conditions, do people slip, or do they kind of pull up outside the school at all, or does everybody rigidly stick to it?
I mean, like any school, people are more inclined to use their cars, and they can. There's kind of like a drop off area, but it is policed. We were talking about police. It is policed. We have, well, not literally police, but we have, you know, traffic wardens around, frequently around, so they will make sure that people move on. But I think that we are so used to it now, it just happens. There isn't really, it's just a matter of kind of eventually, when change at the beginning, it's always difficult, but now it's kind of everybody knows what they're doing. So obviously there are more people who drive.
So it's the traffic warden effectively enforces this.
Yeah,
so they're,
yeah,
they're in from early then, if this kicks off at 8:30 in the morning. So
yeah, well, it's like two lollipop lanes, one at either end of the road. So they block off the road.
That's,
but there
it.
Are literally poles in the road that literally screw into the road. So you physically cannot. You can't pass unless there's an emergency. Obviously, you can,
yeah,
if there's an emergency.
I can tell you, there's an awful lot of support Valerie, yep. for what you guys are doing there at Oliver Plunkett's Malahide. You know, it's a lot of people wondering why other local authorities can't follow the lead of Fingal in this case as well.
It does cost. I think it may be a financial thing as well. I'm sure it costs money, you know, because there is a certain amount of, extra people having to employ. But I think that it's so worthwhile. Mm. It really has, and even in terms of kind of the side effects, the positive side effects, is that we use our outside of our street for Shocton and Gwelga. We literally have Kayleys on the road. Like there are new ways we haven't even thought of that we can use it for. So
no, it's a great
it's
idea.
Just the well-being, the children, everybody is. It's just it actually takes the stress away, because sometimes people were coming in. It sounds I've listened to all these stories and I remember. It's like a distant memory. People used to literally drive in the park. You know,
I know
that kind of thing. So like our school was exactly the same. In fact, probably worse.
No, but you addressed it, and I think a lot of people are very warmly receiving that and wondering why their own local authorities can't take the lead of Fingal. According to this text here as well, Valerie Keogh, Deputy Principal at St Oliver Plunkett's National School there in Malahide. Hyde in Dublin, Liz, Mary, Isabel in Galway, thanks for getting in touch with us on the programme. Look, if you're after dropping the kids off today, maybe they're going back on Monday, and you think car exclusion zones are a good or a bad idea, whatever your thoughts, give us a call, 1800 453 106.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan,
brought to you by Avant Money,
weekdays at midday on News Talk.